All right, come on back, grab a seat as we jump into our message here this morning. Man, so this morning we're going to go back to the book of Acts. You might remember before Easter we were in the book of Acts unpacking the Acts of the Apostles. We took a break the last 4 weeks, but we're back at it. But I feel like today's message, there's a natural progression from where we concluded last week. Where we celebrated life and new life, and where we are going to continue in the book of Acts. What we concluded with last week is that each of us individually are responsible for our own personal relationship with Christ, that we must be intentional about following Jesus, that we have to allow the Lord to lead us, and we need to be humble enough to follow where He leads. This is what we see with the apostles in the early church. They were willing to allow the Lord to lead them anywhere and everywhere. They allowed following Jesus to touch every area of their lives. There was no mistaking who they were living for, and that was Christ. And you might recall me saying last week that we need to have a kingdom mentality. Well, the apostles had a kingdom mentality. Every action, every move in ministry, their entire lives were wrapped up in advancing Christ's kingdom. So today, as we get into the message, we're going to be challenged quite a bit, but it's a good challenge. We go back to Peter and John. You might remember the last time we were in Acts that Peter and John, they had walked into the temple. And they passed a man that had been lame for 40 years. His friends brought him to the gate that's called Beautiful, the temple, every day where he would ask for alms. And he comes up, Peter and John walk past, and he asks them for alms. And Peter says, I don't have any silver, I don't have any gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And the man got up and walked. And when the religious leaders learned that this man had been healed, they were upset. I don't know why this is a common theme within the Gospels and the book of Acts. Every time someone gets healed, the religious leaders are getting mad. We see it in Acts 4. We saw it last week in John 9. But because of this healing, Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, and the council asked by which means this man was healed. Acts 4 8 through 10 says, Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Peter stood boldly and he declared it was Jesus. At this, the council was amazed because of the boldness of Peter and John, and seeing that they were just ordinary men, not having any special training, yet they recognized one thing, that they had been with Jesus. At this, the council threatened Peter and John to not preach in the name of Jesus anymore. Verse 19, but Peter and John replied, Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. Peter and John doubled down and they said, Listen, we don't care what you say. We don't care what threats you make. We have to continue living the way God has called us to live and proclaiming what he has called us to proclaim. We are witnesses of this. We're going to live life the way Christ told us. At this, verse 21, the council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. What we're going to discover this morning is Christ has called us to live a certain way, and it has nothing to do with being timid. Christ has called us to be bold in following and proclaiming Him. The life of the follower of Jesus is one of boldness, one of courage, one of standing when everyone else would cower. We are called to be bold in how we follow and proclaim Jesus. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, I come before you this morning and I thank you for your grace and I thank you for your presence. And I pray this morning that as we get into this principle of boldness, that you would open our hearts to receive, to our minds to understand and know what it is your Spirit is saying. I pray, Father, that you would challenge us this morning, but also encourage us. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when it comes to boldness, there are different variations. Some, I believe, are born with a natural boldness. You know them. They don't care what anyone thinks. They don't care what anyone says. They present themselves as, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. I don't care. Bold. A boldness, though, that can come across maybe as brash or rude. There's also a boldness that results in someone being called stubborn or strong-willed. They won't back down no matter what. They are set in their ways, and they are bold about those beliefs and those ways. And then there's a quiet boldness, the person that knows in their heart that they won't be swayed, they can't be swayed. They know what they think and what they believe, and when asked, they will tell you. However, it's not overbearing. It's a gentle, it's a quiet type of boldness. This person is the type that maybe doesn't like to ruffle feathers, and they just keep to themselves. I remember a time I went to dinner with my family, my crew, my mother and father-in-law, and then my brother-in-law and his family, and we went to a Mexican restaurant. I don't remember who ordered it and what was ordered. I just remember the order came wrong. And I'm the type that's like, if it's close enough, I'm just going to leave it alone. Because why ruffle feathers? It's close. I'll just deal with it. Now my brother-in-law, he is like, you are paying for a service and you are going to get what you paid for. So we're going to get it fixed. I'm like, Jason, it's not that big a deal. He's like, it's a big deal. Really, it's not. The waitress came back. He's like, hey, this order is wrong. And the meal got fixed and everyone was happy. And it was a good thing, right? But in the case of that night, there was a boldness that I didn't have. There's moments I might speak up, but not that, I don't know. Allison and Jason, they seem to have a certain type of boldness they were born with. It got passed on to Ava. She has the same boldness. She knows who she is and what she thinks and what she believes, and she will tell you. We went to the Forrest Frank concert last night, and in the parking lot, she's like getting all of her gumption together, and she yells, Jesus loves you, in the middle of the parking lot. And it's like, hey, right on, right? But that's my Ava. But here's the thing. While some people are born with it, I believe we can all learn how to be bold, and I fully believe that the Holy Spirit will empower us to be bold and to operate in boldness. So my question, do you have boldness? If you do, where do you see it come out? If you don't, do you wish you had some? This is what I want to discover this morning. Why boldness is necessary, how to operate in boldness, and what is the outcome of boldness? Because remember, Christ called us to be bold in following and proclaiming him. Now, directly after Peter and John are released by the council, the following takes place. We'll be living in Acts 4, so if you have your Bible, Acts 4 is where we are going to be. Jump over to Acts 5 in a little bit, but anyway, Acts 4, beginning in verse 23, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voice together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city, for Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. That's a lot of text, so we're going to take a few moments and dissect it. But I love and I appreciate how Luke records this. Now remember, Luke is the writer of the Gospel of Luke. He also wrote the book of Acts. He was a follower of Jesus, traveled with the Apostle Paul, very involved. He was an eyewitness to these things. And the first thing I see here, Luke shows us that Peter and John didn't process what had happened alone. They didn't try to bear it alone. They returned to their church family, the other apostles, the other believers, and they told them everything. Verse 23, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. They returned to them and say, hey, guys, we were just threatened to not preach in the name of Jesus. We were just thrown into jail, and then we were threatened again, and then they let us go, and they went to the church family that they trusted. And you've heard me say this in the past, but sometimes I wonder if things land the way I hope. So I'm going to say it again. This principle is the second point in our code that hangs on our wall in the lobby. Value in community. There's value in community. God said it's not good for us to be alone. We all need community. So often, we allow ourselves to become isolated. We think that no one will understand. I will be judged. I will be looked down upon. I can't tell anybody what happened. We don't have someone that we can call when the temptation is becoming overbearing and too difficult to turn away. What we see from the early church is they went to each other. They processed together. They trusted each other. It says, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had to say. Peter and John went back, and here's the thing, I'm not naive to the fact that this community was built over time, right? It was built over time and trials. The apostles spent 3 years living together, doing life together, doing ministry together. I would imagine that many of the believers that they returned to had also followed Jesus for a while. They did life together. They didn't only connect on a day of worship. They didn't only come together on a Sunday. They didn't only come together in good times, right? And that's my hope for Middle Canyon Church. It's that we become a community that builds those relationships with each other. Relationships and friendships where we can be honest and open with each other about the trials that we're going through. So this is the reason we do events like Cinco de Mayo on Friday night. Family game night, serving with each other at the food pantry, and so on. We're trying to create an environment where you can let your guard down, have conversations that lead to friendship. Friendships that lead to, hey, we're moving and we need help. Could you lend a hand? Relationships that are like, man, I'm about to do something really stupid and I'm struggling with this temptation right now. Can you in the least pray for me? But if possible, come and sit with me so that I don't act on it. A relationship where you can say, I'm sorry, I know it's late, but I'm at my wit's end with my kids and I need a moment. Can you come sit with me or come sit with my kids and let me just get away for a moment? You know, a relationship where, you know, I came across this passage of scripture and it doesn't make sense. Do you have time to sit down and walk through it with me? Friendships where we trust those that are around us. The events that we do, Cinco de Mayo, park night coming up next month, these things are not just to kill time. It's not just a, hey, we're not doing anything on Friday, so come hang out, right? It's to help us follow Jesus better, more closely. It's providing an avenue for community because we need community. We need each other. We are not meant to journey alone. And the early church modeled this well. This is also why we have home groups. When you get together in that kind of setting, you're able to have conversations that can be impactful and help you and sharpen each other. But here's the thing. Once the church got together, Peter and John, they didn't have a gossip session, right? It wasn't like, oh, hey, well, Sally said, told me that she needs prayer because she's got a fungus on her foot. And I'm just sharing with you so you can pray with her too, right? It's not that. We don't go to each other to share each other's. If someone's trusted you with something, you keep it, right? And we have to be together to build those type of friendships. They don't happen by accident, right? They didn't have a pity party. What did they do? They prayed. They prayed. They presented to the Lord what they had just gone through, and they expressed how they felt, but they acknowledged that the Lord had declared through King David that this would happen, that they would have to endure difficult times. And this is something that we the American church try to avoid or believe isn't a possibility or a reality for the believer, that we won't have to endure hard times because I follow Jesus. However, not only did King David declare that hardships would come, so did Jesus. Jesus talking to his disciples in John 15, beginning in verse 18. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Did you catch that? What did Jesus say? He chose you to come out of the world, meaning our values. What brings meaning, what brings purpose to the lives of those that follow Jesus is not the same things that bring meaning and purpose to the people of the world. We have been called out of the world. When the world says that this lifestyle or that lifestyle is okay, we are to stand against it. Or living promiscuous, going around and living promiscuously, sleeping around with people, living together before marriage, and you know the truth of what is supposed to take place, right? We're supposed to be bold and stand against that. That you can do whatever you want with your body because it's your body, it doesn't matter, right? We are to stand against those things, to not be of this world. Because of this, the world will hate you. Why? Because you are called to stand against those things that are sin. Boldness. Jesus continues, verse 20, do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. John 16, 1 through 4, I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith, for you will be expelled from the synagogues at the time, and the time is coming when those who kill you will think they are doing a holy service for God. This is because they have never known the Father or me. Yes, I am telling you these things now so that when they happen, you will remember my warning. John 16, 33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Jesus was preparing his disciples for the inevitable truth. The world was going to hate them because they were going to confront the world about sin. Jesus had called them to go into all the world and to proclaim the gospel. And because of this charge, they would be persecuted. And we don't like to hear this. In our culture, everything is about being comfortable, living at ease, living without trouble or trial. And you may say, well, Jesus was talking to his disciples and about the leaders of Israel. This doesn't apply to me. My friends, the follower of Jesus in 2025 is as much a disciple of Jesus as a follower in 25 AD. Right? A disciple is a disciple. These truths apply to those that say they are a Christian or a follower of Jesus or his disciple. The follower of Christ was never called to live a kind of lifestyle that leads to comfort and ease. It would require boldness. We have been called to be soldiers, to stand on the front lines, to stand firm in the faith and fight the good fight. And because of this, the potential for us to not be liked is there. Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. How did the apostles and the believers respond? Acts 4, 29. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They prayed for boldness. They didn't throw a pity party like I previously stated. They asked the Lord for more boldness. Lord, give us boldness to go and preach your word. Give us boldness to go tell about Jesus. That God would empower them by stretching out his hand to work miracles, signs, and wonders in the name of Jesus. They did not cower, but they prayed for more boldness. After this, verse 31, after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the Word of God with boldness. Imagine having a prayer meeting where God shook the building and He empowered you with boldness. My friends, Christ has called us to be bold in following and proclaiming Him. To help drive this home, we jump forward in the book of Acts to chapter 5. The apostles and the fellow believers are spreading the gospel. People are being healed and being delivered, and they're believing. And because of this, Acts 5:17, the high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. Here again is an example of what Jesus was saying was going to happen. Now, here in America, you're not going to be thrown into jail for proclaiming the gospel. If we were, I might be one of the first ones to go. Right? But here's the thing. If you go over to Nigeria, on Palm Sunday through Easter, there has been a massacre of Christians. One headline read, "Terrorists have taken the lives of 56 Christians during Easter celebrations at a church in Nigeria." Bishop Kuka said, "In less than 1 week, we have lost almost 200 lives across the country, with totals now topping 240 people, all because people believe in Christ." This is persecution. We won't be thrown in jail. We won't be killed for sharing our beliefs. Now, some of us will lose friends. Family might ostracize you, and you might be outcast and deemed a religious zealot. But you won't endure what the people of Nigeria did or the apostles did when they shared their faith. And if we won't share our faith in times like these, do we really want to believe that we will be bold enough to share them if we had to endure what Nigeria was going through? If your life was threatened and you were thrown in jail, would you have the boldness? I'm going to say no. Right? The church doesn't have boldness anymore. We cower at the thought of being made fun of. We shrink back because we know we'll go against society and be labeled a bigot or suffer whatever phobia name they want to throw at you. Let's be honest with ourselves and recognize that we don't have the boldness of the apostles, which begs the question, are we not praying and asking for boldness? Or are we truly not concerned with reaching the lost for Christ's kingdom? These are the things that we must weigh. We must take time and process and ask the Lord the condition of our heart. The apostles were all about Christ and His kingdom. It was there that they laid down their life. It was their passion. It was what got them out of bed in the morning. It's what they thought about when they went to bed at night. Today, we can't even get people to come to church consistently. Volunteer to help with projects or different ministries. The old age adage rings true. 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. Imagine, just imagine if we flipped that number. Imagine what would happen in loving and serving our community. Not because the church put together an event, not because we have a QR code to scan and sign up, but because God put it on your heart and you stepped out and you did it because you loved God and you loved people. I worry that if we can't have boldness now, we won't have boldness when true persecution comes our way. My friends, Christ has called us to be bold in following and proclaiming Him. What happened after the apostles were arrested? Verse 19, "But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Then he told them, 'Go to the temple and give the people this message of life.' So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told and immediately began preaching." God made a way. He intervened on their behalf. But to do what? To go right back to what got them thrown in jail in the first place. Give these people the message of life. So at daybreak, they went back to the temple and did immediately what they were doing before, teaching and preaching. I am telling you, when you have a kingdom mindset, seeking first Christ and His kingdom, He will move in your life. He will make ways in your life. Now listen, we have activists for everything, right? For animals, personal rights, children, social justice, just to name a few. And those people will stand in the middle of a freeway to stop traffic because, for whatever reason, right? They'll stand in marches. They'll go to the Capitol. They'll do all of these things. I read a story of a man by the name of Wynn Bruce. I don't know if you're familiar with the story. He was a photographer from Boulder, Colorado. He walked up to the plaza of the Supreme Court around 6:30 p.m. on Friday, April 22nd, 2022, I believe is what it was. It was Earth Day. And he sat himself down on the steps and self-immolated. If you don't know what self-immolated means, it means he set himself on fire. And although the Supreme Court police officers responded immediately, they were unable to extinguish the blaze in time to save him. Now, hear me and hear me clearly, okay? I am not advocating for the practice of self-immolation. I am not advocating for you to harm yourself in any way, okay? We understand that. Do not harm yourself. The point is people will go to extremes for the things that they believe. His was for Earth Day and the climate. They are emboldened and willing to pay the cost that many won't. Are we willing to endure persecution for the sake of the gospel? You hold within you the message of eternal life. The follower of Jesus has within them the message of God and to the power of salvation. The Christian carries within them the message of hope for all people. Yet we don't share it because we don't want to be made fun of. What you have in you is greater than any other thing you could ever possibly advocate for. We are Christ's advocates. We are his ambassadors. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. He says, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Let that sink in. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Did you hear what Paul said? He's making his appeal through us. We are speaking for Christ when we say, come back to God. God has tasked you and me with sharing the message of the gospel in the world. And here's the thing, and please hear and understand me. I've been timid in the past in sharing my faith, talking to people about church and inviting them. I have been that. But God has given me a new spirit of boldness because I have prayed for it. See, as I handed out Easter invites for people to come on Easter, how do you think people responded? You think they were rude? You think they kicked me in the shin? You think they slapped me in the face? No. Every single one of them said, thank you. Thank you. We'll consider it. They were generous. They were kind. So here's the thing. I'm not challenging you to do something that I have not done myself. But if we truly want to bring hope and transformation to our community, it's going to take all of us. We all have to get on board. Because Christ has called us to be bold in following and proclaiming him. Now the high priest learns that the apostles are back at the temple preaching and teaching, so they have them arrested again and demand, didn't we not tell you to not teach in this man's name? Instead, you have filled all of Jerusalem with your teaching about Jesus, and you intend to blame us for his death. Peter, how I love Peter. Verse 29. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross. And then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as Prince and Savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him. Peter and the apostles are like, listen, I don't care what you have to say. We are going to continue this movement because we are witnesses. We have seen it, and we are here to share that people can believe and be forgiven. Boldness. Verse 33, when they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. But one member, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men be sent outside the council chamber for a while. So they sent the apostles outside of the chamber. Then he said to his colleagues, men of Israel, take care what you are planning to do to these men. Some time ago, there was that fellow, Theudas, who pretended to be someone great. And about 400 others joined him, but he was killed, and all his followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. After him, at the time of the census, there was Judas of Galilee. He got people to follow him, but he was killed too, and all of his followers scattered. So my advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. And there it is. Gamaliel was used by God to show the truth in the matter. If this movement was created by these men, by these women who called themselves followers of Jesus, it would fail. Because when the going would get tough, they would quit. However, if this movement was from God, there would be no stopping it. And if they tried, they would find themselves fighting against God himself. And here we are 2,000 years later, and this movement is still moving. Is it roaring at the moment? No, but it can be. If Christ's body, if the church would mobilize and be about the kingdom's business. But here's the thing. Did the apostles go on and live comfy lives? No, all of them died for the movement. All of them gave every last ounce of devotion for Christ's kingdom. Peter, crucified upside down in Rome at his request, as he felt unworthy to die in the same manner as Jesus. James, son of Zebedee, beheaded by King Herod. Andrew, crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece. Bartholomew, flayed alive and then crucified in Aramea. Matthew, killed by a sword in Ethiopia. Luke, hanged in Greece. Thomas, stabbed with a spear in India. Jude, killed with arrows for refusing to renounce his faith. Simon, executed in Persia. John, miraculously survives being boiled alive, later to be sent to the prison island of Patmos, where he would write the book of Revelation, where he would eventually die of old age. But these people had boldness. Verse 40. The others accepted his advice. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. The apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. The apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message. Jesus is the Messiah. Verse 41 hits me in the gut. They left the high council rejoicing because God had considered them worthy, counted them worthy to be disgraced for the sake of Christ. This here is the heart of the matter. The apostles endured much for the sake of Christ and his kingdom, and they rejoiced. They counted themselves a joy. They counted it a joy because they would suffer for Christ. We do everything we can to avoid suffering. The apostles rejoiced. Christ has called us to be bold in following and proclaiming him. And you may be thinking, I don't know if this is worth it. I don't know if enduring all of that is worth it. But here's the thing. What happens when you stand and you are bold? What happens when you boldly proclaim the gospel? Acts 5, beginning in verse 12. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed, and were brought to the Lord. Crowds of both men and women, as a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. God still wants to do miracles. He still wants to shake this room with his presence. He is still in the business of healing the sick, working signs and wonders, casting out evil spirits. But we will have to be bold. We will have to be willing to stand our ground and say, it's because of Jesus my life is changed. It's because of Jesus I have hope. It's because of Jesus I was made well. It's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. And it's here we have a decision to make. Do we love the world more with its ability to temporarily satisfy the sin, the sinful nature in our flesh? Or do we love Christ more and the freedom that he provides and want others to have it too? Because here's the thing. An entire generation is out there seeking. They are curious. They are hungry. They are tired. And they are broken and they need hope. And we have the light of that hope within us because we have Christ. And here's the thing, our boldness is not rude. It's not yelling at people from a corner, repent and be saved. Our boldness is done in love. In love, we confront sin. In love, we teach and we lead. In love, we teach that Jesus is the Messiah, and we invite people to join him. We invite them to come and be a part of this movement. We invite them to come to church. We try to make it as easy as possible. We have all of these business cards in the foyer. Grab a handful of them. It's got our name, service time, website, my email, church address, and who we are. We raise up followers of Jesus who bring hope and transformation to our community. Hand them a card and say, I'd like to invite you to church. Okay, I did it at the credit union the other day. The lady took it and said, thank you. Right? It's not hard. But let's be a people that are willing to be bold enough to talk to the person at the restaurant, at the grocery store, our neighbor, our family, believing for the Lord to do incredible things through us because he will, because he wants to. But it will require boldness. Christ has called us to be bold in following and proclaiming him. Let's pray. Father, I come before you this morning. And I thank you for the example that was set by your apostles. Lord, and it's hard to maybe think of boldness in this way. But I pray that we would be a people of boldness. Lord, because we should be overjoyed to share what you have done in our lives. We should be overcome with gratitude and thankfulness that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that there is no more condemnation for those that believe in Christ Jesus, and that we can offer this same message to somebody else. So I pray, Lord, give us boldness. That our boldness operates in love, though. Not dragging people down, not condemning people, but Father, extending to them the hope of the gospel. That through Christ we can have life, and that life more abundantly. Lord, give us opportunities to share our faith. Help us, Lord, to see those moments and extend the invite to have the conversation. Lord, they don't have to come to church to meet you. We can lead people to you right there in our home, right there in the grocery store, right there at the gas station. Lord, you have given us that as we are your ambassadors. So I pray, Father, give us the words to speak. Go before us, prepare the way, so that we can see a great harvest of people come to know you. Because it's about you, it's about your kingdom. Lord, we are here to do your work and to glorify your name. We thank you, we love you, we bless you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. I thank you for being here this morning. Don't forget to sign up to help with the food pantry, the ladies event, all of the things. I love you guys, and I'll see you next week. Come back for Mother's Day. Mother's Day is next week. Crazy. See you next week.